Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Will we just take a few minutes every day and join you and talk about the Bible? And we are currently in the book of Acts and just doing the best we can to not skip a verse, just to go straight through and let's see what the Lord has for us. We have completed chapters 1 and 2, and we're just entering chapter 3 today, which is just an amazing chapter in the Bible, full of action. I think you'll enjoy it. So if you have an opportunity to pull out a Bible on your own or pull out your iPad or phone, whatever your device is, and look along with us, that'd be great. If not, just listen in and we'll jump right into Acts chapter 3. So Acts chapter 3, obviously we know that Pentecost has just taken place. We know that the early disciples are all in. And Josh, by the way, thanks for joining us, Josh. Boy, if there's one way to describe these early disciples, that might be the best way. They were all in.
Yeah, they were definitely on fire and ready to serve. I mean, they were living in some exciting times, some times that called for them really being all in.
So when I say all in, you see the recurrence of certain terms in the first few chapters of Acts. For instance, they were all and they all prayed. They were all in one accord. They all had all things common. So it just, all of, when I say all in, I really kind of mean that two ways. I mean, all of them mm-hmm. were in, mm-hmm. and they were all in, 100%.
Yeah.
So 100% of them were giving 100%.
Yeah, yeah. And they were giving 100% of everything, 100% of themselves, 100% of their energy. They were invested into the ministry at this time. And the ministry was what it is today, and that is people.
In the business world, they have an axiom called the 80-20 principle, mm-hmm. which is essentially, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work, 20% of the people do 80% of the giving. And it holds pretty true, yeah, even in church work and in church giving. But you always wonder, you know, what could a church be if 100% of the people, you know, gave 100%, 100% of the time?
Yeah, yeah, and you see that throughout the book of Acts. That's what you see happened. And, you know, the Bible talks about them turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ. And that's what would happen if 100% of us got 100% sold out and all in.
So just consider that yourselves. You say, well, that'll never happen. Well, maybe not, but will it happen in your life? So the point is, I can't control somebody else, but I can look inward and say, Lord, insofar that I am responsible for me, I'm going to recommit myself to giving. And I guess the question would be, if everybody at my church were just like me, you know, how healthy would that church be?
Yeah, that is a good question to ask yourself. And it would be a pretty revealing question about yourself and myself.
So Pentecost is over, the big event, 3,000 people trusted Christ, were baptized, added to the church. They're continuing in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, all of that. Then the Bible gives us this event, somewhat innocuous at the beginning of the event, but boy, I'll tell you what, it mushrooms into something huge. So look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, where the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this is all precursor to a much bigger miracle. But let's just zone in today, Josh, on this incredible event of the miracle of this, the healing of this lame man.
Yeah, it really is an incredible story. And when you look at who's doing the healing, you know, obviously it's the power of Christ resting upon Peter and John. But the story begins with Peter and John walking up and seeing this lame man begging for, really not for healing, but for money.
For money. So, interestingly, and so there's a lot of ways to break down this story, but let's go ahead and start there because you introduced it, and that is this man thought that he knew the answer to his predicament.
Yeah.
So I can't walk. The Bible says he was laid daily. So somebody else actually was responsible to get him physically to that place right. Every day. Obviously, he wanted to be by a gate, and the reason for that would be that was where the most traffic is. Mm-hmm. Today, you see homeless people. Where are they? At intersections. Why? That's where the traffic is.
Yeah.
They're at the entries of buildings. If you ever gone to a third world country, you go into one of these tourist spots, you'll always see the people begging for money at the entrance. So this is the best possibility. It reminds me of the man by the pool of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Bible says he was laid by that pool every day.
Right.
It reminds me of Lazarus in Luke 16, who was laid by the rich man's gate.
Yep.
So to your point, Josh, he was there thinking that he was seeking the solution to his problem.
Yeah, and I think he had accepted his fate. I think he probably had realized, this has been my life. You know, I've been lame for all these years. Somebody's taken care of me. Somebody's brought me to this place. This is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a beggar. I'm going to be begging for money. But of course, we know, and Peter recognizes, that his problem was much greater than having a need for material possessions.
Yeah, so he viewed his problem as external. He viewed his problem as financial. And yet the much bigger problem that we'll see in this text is not an external problem. It's an internal problem. It's not a financial problem. It's a spiritual problem. And we're not only wrong in the answers we provide, we're wrong in the questions we ask.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as we look at our world around us today, that's what we see. We see people ignoring the spiritual, the issues of the heart, and saying, let's fix our social problems. Certainly there are social issues, injustices that need to be addressed, but that's not the heart of the problem.
Throwing money at the problem, and that's not to say that we should never meet the needs of poor people,
or
we should never invest in housing or whatever the needs are, certainly. But throwing money at the problem was not going to solve this man's real problem, was it?
No, and that's what Peter recognizes. Hey, I don't have any money to give you, but I've got something that's much greater than money.
It showed you that he was a real preacher. He had no money, silver and gold.
Exactly right.
Have I none? The most quoted verse in the Bible,
Yeah, especially by preachers. You're right.
The other aspect of the story, just from an introductory standpoint, that strikes me, Josh, is they're going to the temple to pray.
Yeah.
And as you read the story, they never go to their time of prayer.
Right, yeah.
The very purpose for which they left their house that morning or that afternoon to walk to the temple, to go there, was interrupted by this on-the-way event, unplanned, to which they reacted.
Yeah, and there's so much to take from that point that you just made. You know, how often do we have those on the way events that we just miss? Because God wants to do something great through us and in us, and maybe even at times using us like he did Peter and John here. But we're so busy and so focused and one-track minded that we just miss the ministry opportunities that God places in our way.
Yeah, and it's not and it's not even that Peter and John were having to make a decision between the spiritual and the carnal. They're they're going to pray.
Yeah, yeah.
They're on mission. They're right. Going to do a good thing, and yet the spiritual sensitivity of their life caused them to realize, well, wait a minute. Here's a man that needs Christ.
Yeah.
So they saw his real need. And let's put this in context, because remember last episode, we talked about the fact that God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. So it was a normative thing for Peter and John to see people coming to Christ. So the more that you see the gospel at work on a daily basis, the more that you see people through the lens of the gospel.
Yeah, and I think that just makes sense, because you get to see God's power at work, and you get to see God change a life through the gospel. And when you see that, you want to see more of it. Because, oh man, the gospel really does work. The Bible really does do what it says it will do. And so as you see God work in that way, you're automatically going to be inclined to continue to want to see God do even more work.
So who are you walking by? Might be a good question today. Because you're going to walk by some people today. And sometimes if we're not careful, it's not that you can stop everybody. Peter and John walked by a lot of people that day. They probably walked by other beggars that day. But it's a matter of spiritual sensitivity, being open to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I think about the story of the Good Samaritan, when two very religious people just walked by.
Yeah, yeah.
They just walked by a man in grave need.
Yeah.
And it took that Samaritan to see the man and go to where he was.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes that's just me getting outside of myself. Because I don't know about you guys that are listening, but for me, so often I get so wrapped up in my to-do list, my tasks that I have to complete for the day. And if I can get outside of myself and realize that, you know, just even looking into someone's eyes and seeing the need for something greater, seeing the hurt, the pain that they might be going through at that moment, you may not know all about it. You may not know what they're experiencing, but just having that sensitivity to allow the Holy Spirit to move you, to talk to say something to encourage a person along the way.
You know, it's interesting that you said just that, and that is look somebody in the eyes, because that's what the passage
yeah,
says
right,
here.
Right.
What the passage says was they were walking in, the man was asking an alms, and that was very, very common for people to give alms for the poor. Jesus even commended that in Matthew chapter 5, mm-hmm. or Matthew mm-hmm. chapter 6, I should say, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. But it's interesting because Peter and John were the ones that said, look at us.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So what that tells me is that this man almost robotically just sat by the gate saying, you know, alms for the poor, help me. But it just kind of that robotic, mechanical, resigned to
right.
attitude, where Peter and John said, no, we're not going to treat him as a piece of scenery in our life.
Yeah.
Look at us. Look at us. So there's the human element of this is a person.
Yes. Yeah.
And let me tell you, we don't have what you're asking for, but we have something greater. We have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his name. So he's the one that does it. He's the one that gets the glory for it. In his name, take up thy bed and walk. So does that mean as New Testament believers that we're to walk down the road and look for people with physical maladies to heal them? No, the Bible makes it clear that in these days, before the canon of Scripture had been completed, God gave the apostles certain signs,
sure.
Like these miracles, apostolic signs and wonders by which the gospel message could be validated. So you never saw a sign without a follow-up with a message about Christ.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Peter's going to do. And to your point, back in chapter 2, verse 43, you know, we talked about that, I think, in our last episode, that the signs and wonders were for this period of time, and they were for pointing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you mentioned, you know, the eyes and the look, and Peter and John saying, look at us. I wanted to point out in verse 4 also, Peter did the same thing to that lame man. The Bible says Peter fastening his eyes upon him. So, you know, it stopped him in his tracks. Here's somebody, the Holy Spirit just struck his heart. Here's somebody I want you to talk to today. And so he stopped and he did exactly what he was convicted to do.
And that would be my encouragement to you today, is that you would look at somebody today. Not look to notice that they're there, but to look at them, to make eye contact, to speak to them words of spiritual value, to make a difference. Tomorrow, or next episode, I should say, we're going to just jump in and look at what was all this about. If this was a sign, a miracle, and the purpose was a message, then what message was it pointing to? You are going to be amazed. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.